All right. So as you all know, we have been exploring this, the kind of the big picture of God's redemption leading up to Easter, looking at God's creation and his plans from the beginning, the way God responds to us, the way he responds to sin. And as we get closer to Easter, I'm thinking more and more about God's response to sin. What has he done throughout the centuries, and ultimately, this all points to Jesus' resurrection. The resurrection is a central point of the Christian faith, right? We believe that Jesus died and came back from the grave 3 days later. This is not just some religious or spiritual idea that we talk about. Christianity is not about religious symbols or rules or rituals. It's not just a metaphorical or mythological idea that we express about the world. We follow someone who claimed to be God in the flesh and who came to take the penalty for our sin upon himself. And it's not that he just made this claim and then died and went away, and then some people came after him and said, hey, let's build a religion about this. And we believe that it's true, as reported in the Bible, that he came back from the grave 3 days later, proving his power over sin and death, that he had paid the penalty for sin in full. And this is something that sets Christianity apart from many world religions, I think. Our faith is anchored to historical events. We don't just believe that what somebody once said is true. We don't just follow somebody's teachings. The truth claims of the Bible are tied to historical events that can be verified by outside sources. I'm often amazed, as you know, as I hear things, you'll every now and then you'll hear some article about, oh, some archaeological find disproves the Bible. And then you read into it and you see the follow-up research and they're like, oh, actually, no, the Bible was correct in what it said. That archaeologists and historians keep finding, as they dig deeper and as they look at ancient cultures, that what the Bible says about cultures in the timeline that the Bible follows is actually accurate. And that's what gives validity to a lot of our faith. The resurrection is something that was witnessed by many people who testified to its truth and held to that claim even under threats of death. Now, for an ancient event, that may not be absolute proof that it's true, but it's pretty solid supportive evidence, much more solid than we have for other things that we believe to be true. And so while we live by faith in this truth that Jesus is the Lord and he did come back from the grave, there's plenty of evidence that you can explore that suggests that it is actually true, that our faith is built upon solid ground. Our faith is built upon this truth that a man named Jesus, who lived as a Jew some 2,000 plus years ago, was put to death and came back from the grave 3 days later. If that's not true, our faith is misguided, false, and meaningless. But if it is true, as we believe it to be, then the resurrection of Jesus is the most important event in history, and it has meaning for all people all over the world of all time. So the resurrection of Jesus has been a stumbling block, though, for many people. A lot of people think, what a ridiculous idea. How can you claim that somebody died and came back to life? Some people have either dismissed Christianity altogether because of that claim, or they try to find some other explanation. You know, the ideas that are out there that say, well, maybe Jesus didn't actually die, right? He wasn't, I think about the quote from the movie The Princess Bride, he was mostly dead, right? They put him in a grave, they put a stone over it, and then he revived, right? He stopped bleeding, he recovered, he came back. Which is actually pretty far-fetched in itself. There's lots of reasons to believe that these claims that he didn't actually die are less valid than what we believe to be true, that he did die. But in our world today, many people claim that reality is limited to what we know to be true about the natural world. So there's assumption that they begin with, that there can't be a God. There is no God. There is no spiritual world. Therefore, everything that we understand must be explained in some other way. Which is pretty arrogant assumption, honestly, to say that our human knowledge is the limit to what there is to know. Like the things that we know now are all that we should know. It would be like me saying that I don't believe that platypus is a real animal because I've never seen one before. And I'm not going to listen to anyone who ever says that they have seen one. And I'm not going to listen to people who say they believe those people who've seen one because I haven't seen one. It's ridiculous. How can you possibly say such a creature exists? That's the kind of thinking that's often behind rejection of the resurrection. This belief in the resurrection, though, is still a challenge to people. They think it's just crazy talk. And it's been like that for centuries. You'll often read claims that ancient cultures, like the cultures that became before Jesus' time, the Greek and Roman cultures that existed at the same time as Jesus, were fairly open to accepting the idea of a resurrected God. That's what made Christianity take hold so easily, is that, people were already kind of believing that kind of thing at the time. And if you start doing some studying about Jesus' resurrection, you'll read articles that say that Christians weren't actually the first group of religious people to come up with the idea of a resurrected Savior. Right, and the goal of those statements is to discredit Christianity. They'll say, this isn't even an original idea. It's not that big of a deal. All kinds of religions had a resurrected Savior. But I'm going to turn that idea around a little bit, because when you dig into those claims, you'll find that there's something very different about the claim that the Christians make than any other religion made. Let me just highlight a couple of those thoughts. One that's often pointed to is the story of the Egyptian god Osiris. Osiris was the god of fertility and agriculture and afterlife. And Egyptians' myths say that he was killed by his brother, cut up into a bunch of pieces, and then Osiris' wife got all those pieces and wrapped them up like a mummy. That's where our image of a mummy comes from. And then he came back to life because she brought all the pieces back together. And his story is then linked to the cycle of the seasons. Other cultures and religions have similar stories of some god, some deity who was killed and went to the underworld or afterlife and then at some point returned to the earth. But there are some major differences between those stories and the claim that we make as Christians that Jesus died and came back to life. In every one of these stories, the person who was killed is some god who was not human in any way at all. They're completely different than a human being. They lived in different realms, and they traveled around in different ways. So their death is not the same as ours. In many cases, these deities are able to come and go from the earth to the underworld to the whatever realm that they live in very easily. And so the idea that they died and came back is no big deal. And the second thing is that it's clear that none of these stories is an account of a historical event. They're made up by people who imagined these things to be true. It's difficult to know, even as you read about ancient beliefs and religions, whether they really believed these stories or not, or whether they were just told as a way of explaining the world. Maybe they are even just epic tales of the gods and all their dealings with one another. I don't know how these stories were used, but clearly they were not based on fact. And it seems that people know that, and they knew that back then. So when we talk about Jesus, we're talking about a living, breathing human being who actually existed in this world. A fictional account of somebody traveling to an underworld or a body of a god regaining life after it was wrapped up is completely different than a human being dying and coming back from the grave. And I think another major difference just to highlight is that none of these stories of God's dying has anything to do with saving or redeeming the world. in every one of these stories that you read about, the reason that this god or deity or whoever it is died is because they were fighting with some other god. There was some jealousy, some infighting, some dysfunction in the family, and they were killed by one of their family members. In these ancient myths, the gods typically cared very little about human beings, and their death had nothing to do with saving mankind. And so these claims that the ancient world was already accepting of some ideas, that there are other religions that Christianity borrowed to, I think is unfounded. To the time of the early church, when Jesus left this world, resurrection was not a common idea that the Christians just kind of borrowed. The predominant view of life and death among the Greeks and the Romans of the time was that when a person died, they're gone forever. Now, there was some notion they had of an afterlife. You hear of Hades or the underworld, where some piece of you existed in some shadowy form. Or if you were lucky, if you were a hero or a great leader, there was some other place that you could go. But there's no such thing as coming back in their way of thinking. When you're dead, you're gone. There were some Jews at the time of Jesus' life who had some sense of resurrection. We actually get some hints of that in the Bible. There's a major debate between the religious leader groups, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Sadducees had been in charge for many, many years, and they taught there's no such thing as resurrection. They had that common idea that when you're dead, you're gone, and you go to Sheol. That's where your spirit or your being goes. The Pharisees had a different idea, and they were a newer group at the time that Jesus walked the earth, who had this idea that they taught that there is a resurrection to come, that we will be, that God's people will be resurrected to a new life and a new kingdom at some point in the future. So that's the only sense of any kind of so much. Okay, lesson that Pastor Scott should have learned by now is don't trust the battery meter on the microphone. So at the time when Jesus walked the earth, most people believed that when you died, you died. You're gone. And that was the point that I was trying to express there. So it was a fairly unique idea at the time that somebody would die and come back to life. And he showed himself to many people, spent time with them, physically showing. You know, remember that story of Thomas who doubted? Jesus showed him the wounds in his body. He ate with his disciples. There's many signs that he physically came back from the grave. This was not a common idea at the time, and it was hard for people to believe then. And so I've been pondering all this week and thinking about the resurrection and thinking about, man, why this seems to be such a difficult thing for people to grasp. We don't experience people coming back from the grave, so we believe something that most people just have a difficult time understanding and grasping to be true. And I've been just asking myself that question for somebody who doesn't have faith in God. How can they possibly believe this? How can they come to faith that there was this man who walked the earth, who was God, and he demonstrated his divinity, his power over sin by dying and coming back. What a difficult thing to understand. And then almost immediately after having that thought, I started to think, well, is it really that difficult, though? Well, first of all, millions and millions of people throughout the centuries have believed it. We believe it to be true. And many people come to faith and come to believe this. And the second thing I think is we know God's character. We've considered it over the past few weeks. In talking about the creation, we understand that God loved what he created and he desires a relationship with mankind. And even though we have separated ourselves from him through sin, he continues to pursue us. So isn't God going to continue to pursue people and to help them understand in some way this notion of his son dying and coming back? Isn't he going to kind of bridge that gap in some way to help us accept that? And that's what brings me to that passage that Becky shared earlier. Romans 1:20, and this is often a favorite of mine. Paul is writing in Romans about the wrath of God being revealed from heaven against ungodliness. And he talks about people whose hearts are closed to understanding God, and they embrace their sin. But he says in verse 20, "For God's invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse." And so he's saying people have no reason to say there is no God. All they have to do is look around in the world and take a look at his creation to understand who this God is and know that he exists. And there's a lot we can explore there that I love to explore. But what I want to focus on today is how God has revealed through his creation the notion of the resurrection. Now, no, we don't see people and animals or anything being resurrected all the time, but I think we experience some things that kind of hint at it, that point in that direction, that make this something that we can grasp. It's not all that foreign if you really think about it. And I want to explore some ways that God has revealed himself to us through his creation. God reveals himself to us in so many ways. And we read this throughout the Bible. He reveals himself to the Israelites by inviting them to be his people, and he shows them his presence. He reveals forgiveness of sin and the method of forgiveness through setting up the sacrifices for Israel and having them demonstrate that cost of sin is a life, and how repentance comes through the shedding of blood, which foreshadowed what Jesus did. He established the Sabbath for them, where they took this lamb into their houses and they sacrificed that lamb in remembrance how God passed over them because of the blood of the lamb. And again, foreshadowing Jesus coming. And just we can look at so many ways biblically that we see that God gives us these messages. He foreshadows these things to come. He shows us his character. And I think we can see that in terms of understanding the idea of a resurrection by looking at things we experience all the time. One of the most, one of these that I think about that really demonstrated most, I think, is when you think about the life cycle of a butterfly. Butterfly lays an egg which hatches into a what? A caterpillar. Starts out as a caterpillar. You were jumping ahead a little bit. That's all right. Caterpillar, which is completely different than the butterfly, but then the caterpillar forms a chrysalis, a cocoon, which is an image of the creature dying. He's not dead, but he goes into this state and comes out completely different, reborn into a new life. And we experience that all the time. I think that's a message from God. We can see that as a message from God saying, look, this is my character. Death and rebirth is not uncommon. We experience it every 24 hours, I think, with the change from night to day. Where at night, everything goes dark, everything gets subdued, we sleep, we rest, we enter a state of unconsciousness, and then we rise again the next day. Or we talk about it this time of year, especially here in Minnesota, all the time. With the coming of spring, it just brings new life, right? We've experienced winter where everything died off and gets covered in snow, and we go into this state of hibernation, and then we come back to life, death and rebirth experienced in our daily lives. You look at it, you see it with fruit that trees produce. That fruit falls off the tree. It decomposes and leaves a seed in the ground that becomes a new life. And we can go on and on with examples. You can probably find other examples of the idea of death and rebirth is implanted in creation everywhere you look. And so when I consider the resurrection of Jesus, I see all these ways that we encounter this idea day after day. And I think, is it possible that God designed that with Jesus in mind? I don't know that to be true, but isn't it amazing and profound to see how much of our creation and the world we experience just gives us those images, gives us that idea, at least primes us to say, hey, that happens all the time. And maybe it is true that God could die and come back to life. I even see it now as I look at those ancient religious myths. Right? The writers of these articles will tell you that, oh, the Christians just borrowed it from somebody else. What I see in this is that even though those stories are completely different, they talked about death and rebirth. And isn't that a sign that so many cultures had that idea, at least, that this is something that we've experienced? This is something that we know about? And maybe all those ancient people saw that pattern in the world and wove it into their stories, their mythology, because it's so prevalent. And so I just wanted to share those thoughts with you today, just kind of a reflection on the way God communicates to us in so many ways. He's given us his word, and his word is the solid ground that we stand on specifically what God is and who he does. But his word tells us that he speaks to us throughout his creation. He reveals himself. And then my goal today really is twofold, is to think that in a world today where many people, well, throughout all time really, where people assume that there is no God, sometimes we can feel intimidated. We start to think about the resurrection, and we think, oh, that just seems weird to people. And I would like to just erase that, right? That we don't have to feel intimidated. We don't have to feel weird about that. It ought to be kind of strange that people don't think that death and rebirth is a common thing. That to have some confidence in the faith that we have, that this isn't just some weird thing that, oh yeah, you got to believe the way we do to think this, that no, this is something that God wants everyone to know. And he's communicating it in some ways to make this available to people. And the other goal that I had is just to raise our sense of awe at God. To help us to take a new look at our world around us and to see how God communicates to us in so many ways. He reveals his character to us. What we read about in the world is reinforced by what God has created. And he is reaching out to people all the time. And all we have to do is open our eyes. And what a sense of awe we could have as Christians knowing our Lord, to just open our eyes more to those messages that we see and make those connections to what we see in the world to what we know to be true from the Word. Just create that sense of worship in our daily lives because we know God's character. Our God is a God of new things. He brings hope out of hopelessness. He creates the new from the old. He heals what is broken, and he brings life from death. wonderful, wonderful God we have, and what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing it is that he communicates that to us in so many ways. And so I'd really just like to have us give thanks to God today for the many ways that he reaches out to us and communicates to us through all that he has made. And as we step closer to Easter next week, that we can just praise him for what he's done. Let's give thanks to God for his word and for his world today and the way he reaches out to us. Heavenly God, we do thank you. We thank you that we know you and that you have made yourself known to us. We thank you for the new life that we have through you, Lord, and that you are a God of new life. You restore life in so many ways to our broken world. We thank you for all the ways that you are working, Lord. Help us to have confidence in you as we see the brokenness of the world. We lose hope sometime. But you show us in your word and you show us in this world the many ways that you restore and bring life. Lord, open our eyes to see you in the world around us. Create in us a sense of worship every day as we notice you more. And help us to have confidence in expressing who you are in this world. And we do pray for all those whose eyes and minds are closed to that right now, Lord, that they would see that all they have to do is look around them to consider their daily experiences, Lord, and they will see you there. Help them to make that connection, Lord. And in any way that we can do that, help us to connect the dots with them. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.